All right. So this morning, I'm going to jump into the Word. And before I do, I want to share a couple things. First off, it's Palm Sunday. And if you're not in the church world, it's okay. Palm Sunday is the start of what's called Holy Week. I call it Passion Week. Some people do as well, but I like calling it Passion Week because Jesus had passion for us, for God so loved the world, he gave his son, and Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. So this is the week that I've got a little reading plan that I always go through. I'll share it with you if you want it, but it's where we go through the last events of Jesus's life, and we get to see all the places that he went, all the prayers that he prayed, all the things that he did with the disciples right up until he gave his life for us. So it's powerful, and I love just walking down that street, okay? So if you'd like to check that out, let me know, and I'll share that with you. So I'm excited about this week, and I wanted to also share with you, if you're new here, I want to welcome you. If you would open up your bulletin, and on the last page, there's a tear-off. Would you fill that out for us? We have a gift for you, and we want to get that into your hands. But more importantly, we want to pray for you. So if you have anything to pray for, would you put that there? And if it's confidential, check that box. I'll keep it confidential. But we just want to get to know you better. And more importantly, I want to pray for you. And just as we did here, I'm not going to put you on the spot unless the Lord tells me to, and hopefully you'll forgive me and still love me. But it's just so important that we work together as a body, as a family. And we have needs, and so much in our culture, in the Western culture, we don't want to share all that. We want to look strong. We want to look tough. We've got it all together. Well, I'm here to tell you, as the pastor, I don't have it all together, so please don't stop praying for me, okay? So I hope that you can be that bold with me and just accept all the prayer and all the love that the family wants to give. Amen? All right. So today we are talking about healing. Those of you that came expecting to talk about miracles, which is what I said, I am sorry. The Lord decided to change this as I was going through it, and he does that, and that's okay. I love that. So we're going to talk about healing today, and next week we're going to talk about healing. So I want us to stand, and we're going to do our declaration together before we get things kicked off. All right. You can do the hand motions or just repeat, whatever you want to do. But my eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? All right, you may be seated. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would cover us today, and as we've declared these things before you, Lord, that you'd hold us to them. You'd help us through them, Lord. Sometimes it's hard to declare the truth of your word because sometimes the truth can hurt. But Lord, you and only you can provide peace and the comfort that we need, that as we declare that truth in love, Lord, you'll use it the way that it's meant to. So Lord, I pray that as I speak today, that you'd be my voice. You'd give me the words that I need to say and the way that I need to say them. So Lord, that someone might find you that's needing to hear this, Lord, that they'd find that intimacy and that closeness that you want us to have. And Lord, that it wouldn't be me speaking, but Lord, it'd be you speaking. And I yield my voice, I yield my mind, and I yield my heart to you right now in Jesus' name. Use them for your glory. Amen and amen. All right. So I've got a scripture portion here we're going to start off with. It's found in Luke 6, verse 6 through 11. Luke 6, verses 6 through 11. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely. They're watching Jesus closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to him, "I will ask you this one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage Isn't that a shame? You just witnessed a miracle and you're mad about it. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In the book of Matthew, this account has a little tag at the end of it as a kind of like a transitional statement before he goes to the next thing. But in Matthew 12:15, it says, when Jesus knew it, he knew their thoughts, he withdrew from there. And the great multitudes followed him. And what?
He healed them all.
Did he heal some? Did he heal only the good ones? In this case, did it talk anything about their faith, their trust, their belief, their disbelief, or did it say he healed them all? He healed them all. All right. So something I wanted to share with you today is that while I believe there are multiple types of healing, don't get me wrong, we talked last week, and we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning, about sozo, so whole healing, so body, soul, spirit, whole healing. There is physical healing. And typically we go to doctors and use medication, and it's a tried and true method, and it typically always works. That's why people use it. So it's tried and true, physical healing. But there are some things, as we talked about last week, like the woman with the issue of blood, like Jairus' daughter, that medication or those doctors can't solve. This woman went 12 years with an issue of blood, spent all that she had, and nothing worked. So there are times that the issue is much greater, whether it's a soul or whether it's a spirit healing that needs to take place. That's for Jesus and Jesus alone. So what I'm talking about today is really around the general scope of healing, and I wanted to say it that way because I believe that all of this type of healing, all of this sozo type of healing, he made them whole, he made them complete, he made them well. That word there is Holy Spirit work. If you look at Jesus' life, I love the way a writer said this as I was studying this. He said, at age 25, Jesus was still the Son of God, but we didn't see any healings. He didn't stop being the Son of God. He was still the Son of God. We just didn't see any healings going on. At age 29, still the Son of God. We didn't see any healings going on. The moment Holy Spirit descended on him as he was baptized by John the Baptist, and he said, I saw a dove descending on him and resting on him, that is the moment Jesus' ministry jump-started and healing started happening. There's no coincidence. It's Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Do you believe that you can heal somebody apart from the Holy Spirit?
No.
You cannot. So this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you are catching us for the first time in any of this study, we are talking about the gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? So read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Alan likes to give out homework, so I'm going to blame it on Alan. But also read chapter 13 and chapter 14, just to get the full picture, just to understand what God's wanting to do. So 1 Corinthians, there's two of them. You want the first one. 12, 13, and 14. All right? All right. So I believe it is Jesus' desire, just as it was then. He modeled this for us. And he said, I've emptied myself of power. I'm a man like you. But as the Holy Spirit falls on me, watch what happens. So he modeled this for us. And every story we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the synoptic gospels, we see that when Jesus went somewhere and someone needed healing, guess what happened? They were healed. All right, money back guarantee on that one, okay? They were healed. So I believe it's his desire for us to receive total healing or sozo healing. That word there is a Greek word, S-O-Z-O. I gave you the Strong's number last time. I don't have it this time, but hit me up if you want to look it up again. I've even got a little picture screenshot I can send you. So as I thought about this, I was reminded of a little thing called kintsugi. And I think they have a little picture. Will y'all show my picture, please? Yeah, kintsugi. So it's when a vessel or jar or some sort of clay pot, cup, plate, etc. is broken. They often will take this this powder and they have like gold flakes or various other flakes in it, so that it makes it better. Like I'm like, hey, that looks way better than the original probably looked. So what we're talking about, or what I was thinking about, is that whole healing. Jesus weaves in more of himself in all the areas that I lack. So where I'm broken and where I'm messed up and where I don't have it all together and I think that it's ugly before him, he says, no, that's beautiful. Watch what I do with it. Watch me transform it. Yes, ma'am. Kintsugi. So I'm probably totally butchering this Japanese name, but it's Kintsugi. Kintsugi. So when someone gets onto me for saying it wrong, y'all tell them don't say it that way. But that's what I think it's called, and I think it's beautiful. So our main point this morning is your brokenness is beautiful to him. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. God can take you in your brokenness and transform you for his work, for his glory, for his will, for his way. How do I know? Because he did it for me. Anybody else bold enough to raise their hand and say, he did it for me too? Yes. Hey, you got witnesses. Talk to one of them if you don't believe it. And we'll tell you our story. But I'm willing to bet as we tell you our story, you'll realize, I have one of those. He did do that. So Kintsugi, it's the art of repairing broken pottery by mending the areas of breakage with lacquer, dusted or mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. And as a philosophy, it treats breakage and repair as part of history of the history of an object rather than something to disguise. That's a good lesson. Stop hiding it. Don't hide it. Don't disguise it. Be real. So I got a scripture for you that supports my point here. You know me, Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So here's the way Chris says it. Not only is your brokenness beautiful to him, I don't believe that Jesus' perfect plan, his perfect intention for us was to experience it that way, but we did. And we have to trust and believe that he's able to take it for his glory and our good. His glory, my good. Okay? All right, here's our first point today. Just building on that, it was always the plan. Healing was always the plan. All right? I want to show you a scripture. It's found in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. There's a lot here. I wanted to read the whole psalm, but I would put Robert to sleep, so I don't want to do that this morning. I'm going to read a portion of the psalm, and y'all go back and read Psalm 103, okay? It's so powerful. It tells about the entire story from beginning to end. It's one of my favorites. So, and there's a song. So I'm going to try not to sing the song as I read this. All right. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Can you feel that in you right now? Like, bless the Lord. Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. What's this? Who heals all your diseases. Is this before Jesus? Just question. Oh yeah, it was. Who heals all your diseases. Check out what else he does. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And who satisfies your mouth with good things. Guys, some of us like a good meal, okay? So Jesus is saying he's got you. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Some, he used the word all again. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. I like this next part because I need this. Slow to anger. And abounding in mercy or abounding in love. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, amen, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Somebody needs a shout right now, because that's good. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll show you another one. Always his plan. So I gave you an Old Testament example. Here's a New Testament one. James 5:13-16. James says, Is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is there anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. That's what we did this morning. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what? And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. What does that sound like? Death, burial, and resurrection. Sometimes the Lord doesn't heal you, he resurrects you. All right? And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And this last part here, I love this. I've always remembered this my entire life. But the effective or effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes a lot. It does something. Your prayer does something. So here's what I challenge you to do as Christians, as believers. If you claim the name of Jesus and someone says, hey man, will you pray for me? Instead of saying, oh yeah, yeah, and then you kind of go on about your way, let's do it right now. Yes. If you're going to ask me to pray for you, you better buckle up. We're going to do this right now, okay? Wherever we're at. Okay? Can you do that? Yes. All right. Amen. Do it right then and there, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Point two, he healed all. Something I wanted to ask, if you noticed in 1 Corinthians 12, if you've read it or you've had me read it the number of times that I have, it doesn't say gift of healing. What's it say? Alan's up here at the front. Gifts of healings. All right. Why? Because I believe there's multiple ways we can be healed. And I believe that we need each and every one of you in this room and in the global capital C church to be unified in Christ to heal all just as Jesus did. Jesus had all of the gifts of healings. You may not at the moment. But there's someone in the room who probably does. And I'm reminded of the stories about the healing revivals and things going on. There were things that people were almost always healed from a certain guy. And then there's like one or two things that they weren't, right? And you're like, what's going on? This is a healing revival, right? Well, maybe they didn't have that gift operating fluidly in their life. And that just gives us an example of why we need each other. Because there's something you've been through. There's a brokenness that is real to you. And you're like, I got this. Like, I've been there. The Lord's taken me on that journey. I can do this. Why do you think you're on that journey? So that it could be used. Turn it for good. He's really sneaky that way. He is really sneaky that way. Amen. So check this out. In Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. Is something that I keep in my back pocket anytime somebody wants to talk about healing. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus is the shepherd of this church and any other church that professes the name of Christ. Okay? You have a shepherd. You have helpers, under shepherds, but you have the shepherd. So don't cease to go to him. I think it's good to go to people who have gone before you and who are living faithful lives. Please hear me. It is good. But don't mistake him for me or anyone else. Go to him. You have a shepherd, and he has tons of compassion on you. Okay? He can do it. I want to share a video. I'm probably going to cry. Y'all cry with me. There's tissues here, tissues there, two or three boxes of tissues back there. But can we play this video?
Eden.
Jesus. I
I wasn't expecting you here.
People usually aren't.
Can I get you something warm to drink? I was just stoking the fire.
You saw it first, you know.
What do you mean?
What I see in Simon. You were the first person to notice when no one else did. That connects us.
My mother said I was drawn to his wildness and that I would regret it. I wonder what she will say now.
We're going into town to sell these nets. We'll be right back.
Stay here a moment, Simon.
I just want to leave some extra money behind for Eden and Nemo while I'm away.
Put your nets down and go sit with your mother-in-law. It's all right. I told Simon to make sacrifices and leave things behind in order to follow me. You are one flesh with Simon. He cannot make sacrifices that are not also yours. You have a role to play in all of this.
Do I?
You will know in time. I can't make everything about this easier for you.
That wouldn't be our people's way.
No. It has not been. Nor will it continue to be. But I see you. You understand? I know it is not easy to be at home when your husband is out doing all of this. Even when you are excited about it and proud of him. So, I wouldn't ask you to do this without taking care of a few things.
You mean?
Plus, normal Simon is difficult enough. You think I want to travel with a worried Simon?
No.
No, I do not.
The fever spiked. Her forehead burns, my hand to the touch.
We should get a doctor.
There is no need.
Who are you?
So thank you for humoring us as technology doesn't always want to work with us. I think you have the gist. So Peter and Andrew, they're at their house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. She's been sick for a while. And how powerful is it for Jesus to tell you that he sees you? He knows what you're going through. He's not oblivious. That husbands and wives, regardless of who's leading in ministry at the time, are one. And it's always his intention, always his intention, always in his intention to make it better. He wants to. So that to me was powerful, and I also love, who are you? You know, it's just like the right amount of humor, right? So God can do it. He wants to do it. So here's my next point. The same power. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Life. 100%. Complete. All of its fullness. As I thought about this verse, I was thinking about the stories we told last time and the instances where Jesus was seemingly too late, according to the people that were present. Jesus, if you'd only been here, if you only come sooner, man, why? Why did it take you this long? They thought that he missed it, but just check out a few of the highlights of what he did. So we talked about Jairus' daughter. She was dead for at least a few hours. Her house was about 20 miles approximately from where he was at the time. So it takes a minute to get there. And on the way, as he was close, his servants came out and told Jairus that she was dead. So by the time Jesus got there, she was dead, but they hadn't wrapped her up yet. So a few hours. And the point of contact that Jesus made to heal her was much like Peter's mother-in-law here. He grabbed her by her hand and said, "Little girl, get up." And then he also cared enough to give her a snack. All right. Number two, the widow's son at Nain. So by the customs of the time, he was probably dead for about a day, maybe a little bit more, because they had already wrapped him up in the burial clothes. They've already gone through that process, and they're hauling him out in a coffin. What did Jesus do? He walked up, he touched the coffin. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's not what you do in Jewish times. Dead things are unclean. Jesus walked up and touched the dead thing. And he told him to get up. What happened? He got up. And then just in case anyone was still like, it's probably something normal, something science can explain, that it really wasn't waking the dead. He just made him feel better. I got another one for you. Lazarus. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And according to their local legend, myth, whatever you want to call it, they believed that the soul of the spirit lingered around for about 3 days. So he waited 4. Because they said, "Hey, listen, Lazarus isn't doing good. You got to hurry." He waited for 2 more days and said, no. Lazarus is dead. We're going to go wake him up. So he gets there. He made no physical contact. He cried out aloud and said, "Lazarus, come out." And when Jesus is having this conversation with them, Robin beat me to the punch because it's hilarious, especially if you use the old English, you know, "he stinketh." You know something's bad when you say it that way. It stinketh, y'all. Are you sure? It stinketh, all right? But here's what I want to say. That same power ensures that he is always on time. He did it exactly the way that he wanted to do it, and he's going to do it again. Do you believe that? I hope so. And as I said earlier, sometimes what we need in our own hearts, in our own lives, remember, we're talking about spirit, soul, body. Sometimes we need to die to something so that he can resurrect us and we can see clearly again. So whatever that is to you, I hope that you're telling him today, "Lord, kill it. I want to be done with it. Tired of it. Kill that thing in me and resurrect me to you." Whatever that area is. So here's the last one, and y'all had to know this one was coming. But what about? Check this out. So there was a town where the Bible said there wasn't much faith, so that he did no miracles or great work there. And guess what he still did? He healed some. All right, so Mark 6:5 says, "He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them." So even when they didn't want it, God still healed. And you may be asking yourself, well, Chris, or God, whoever you're talking to in this dialogue, what about this person? What about this situation? God didn't heal them. Why? I'll give you an example in case you were wanting to see if This is coming from a place of, you know, reputation or whatever. 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, Paul is speaking to the Lord. He said, concerning this thorn in the flesh, this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And God responded, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul resolves, therefore, I will most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. He pretty much just said, if that's what it takes to move by his power, bring it. I'd rather it be gone. Not my will, his will. Like, isn't that cool? I want us to have that resolve. So I thought of 3 things. And we're going to do these together in a minute, but I want to tell you about them first. I think of 3 things when I think about but God. Is he able? Do I believe that God is able to do what I've asked him? Is he able? 2, is he willing? Does he want to? Everywhere I read, he had compassion on them. He loved them. Is he willing? Now, I added a 3rd one. You may have heard those 2 before, but here's my 3rd one. And I think this one's probably a little bit harder for me. Will I let him? Will I let him? Or will I continue to do what I've been trying to do, holding on to it, controlling him, and telling him how he needs to do it, where he needs to do it, when he needs to do it, who he needs to use to do it with, you know, all the details, because that's how I roll. And I tell God how he needs to do it. Or will I sit down, be quiet, and say, yes, Lord, you've got this. So I know that that's one of those things that you're like, Chris, you didn't really answer the question. But that's okay, because something that Alan and I have been talking about for a while is these types of questions, the why questions, they're not for me. That's God. Ask him. And I don't mean to deflect, but his ways are higher than my ways, your ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. Only he knows. But if I believe that he's able, if I believe that he's willing, and I've taken myself out of the equation, I'm just going to sit back and watch what he does. And I'm going to praise him no matter what. Okay? I want to talk about it as it relates to this sozo word. Also pertains to salvation. And it's hard because we think that last one, will I let him? Can he really stop God? I wish it were not the case, but God is good and he gives us the freedom of choice. And so you can be stubborn, whether it's healing or salvation, and you can choose not to accept his free gift. You can choose, healing is not for me. I'd rather wear this thing as a badge of honor so I can get pity. He said it in church. But some claim that every day. Well, what about this? What about that? Stop talking about it. Actually give it to him. And when you're presented with the option of salvation, redemption, healing, etc., accept it every time. Do I believe that I'm saved? Yes. But if there's an altar call, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to pray the prayer with everybody else again. Does it mean that I don't believe that it didn't happen the first time? No. But I want to receive salvation new every morning, his grace and his mercy new every morning, his Holy Spirit. Anytime we're doing a baptism service where we're being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to receive it again. Because I want more. I don't have enough yet. Do you have enough? No. Anyone out here want to raise their hand and say they have enough of all that Jesus has for them? I don't. So raise that hand. Say yes. And stop telling them how he ought to do it. I want to ask our praise and worship team to come up. And I have some things on my mind and on my heart that I want to deal with, but I also want to deal with some things here, because not only did Alan confirm a few things, but I've been feeling that there's some healing that needs to happen here. I told you 2 weeks ago about Jameson, the little boy that we prayed for at my sister's house, that had a whole lot more courage and boldness and just, what an awesome kid, man. I was like, dude, you're so strong. I want to be like you. He's like, you are strong. Just keep praying. You know, like, you're so cool. I want to be you when I grow up. So I want to share this. It was on my phone, so I don't want to mess anything up here. My sister texted me this morning, and his mom texted and said, hey, my dad just got admitted to the ICU for concerns of a heart failure and fluid overload. We had to call the ambulance last night because he just couldn't breathe. Also, Jameson starts chemo tomorrow, and I'm so broken. Please pray for my dad and our family. I know he's going to pull through this, but we could use all the prayers we can get. You got some prayers to offer up for Jameson and his grandpa? I think so. So I want us to all stand this morning. We're going to do something together, and then we're going to do something specific. All right, for the one we're going to do together, I just want everybody to lift their hands to heaven. We're going to take a minute on these three, because it needs to be personal. It can't just be Chris leading you into a prayer. So it has to be personal. Think it through. Here's your first question. Do I believe that God's able to do everything His Word says? Answer that in your heart. And then when you get it, say, I believe that you're able. I believe you're able. Question two. Do you believe that He's willing? Do you believe that He's willing? When you get it, say, I believe. I believe. And then the last one. God, show me all the ways that I haven't let you. Because they're there. Show me all the ways that I haven't let you. Or where I've tried to step in and do it myself. Or tell you how to do it. And when you get it, say, Lord, forgive me. I give it to you. And if you want to do, sometimes I do hand motions. I'm going to take my hands off of it. Like I'm riding a motorcycle and I just let my hands go. No more. So Lord, at their profession, by the words of their mouth, let it be for them. They believe you're willing, they believe you're able, and they commit to take their hands off any of the areas that you've wanted to heal, that you've wanted to transform, that you've wanted to make new. And I declare it, I trust you, and I say yes, there's victory here today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give them some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing. Isn't God good?
Yes.
All the time?
All the time,
God is good. God is good. Yes. All right. Guys, we love you. We bless you. If there's any prayer or anything that you need personally, please let us know. But until that time, I just want to bless you in the name of the Lord. And that all that has happened today, that He would use in your heart, that He would grow you into that mature, perfect person that He wants you to be with Christ at the head. Amen? All right. Love you guys. Bless you.